Hello, and welcome to the Sounds Right podcast. I'm the host, Laura, and today I'm here with a mini episode. This is a new format, so do let us know if you'd like to hear more episodes like this one. Today, I'm going to be sharing with you three nuggets of language nerdiness. I can't take credit for the title of this podcast, as it's a phrase that Tita, our head of e-learning and innovation, came up with. So here we go. Here's nugget number one. How many words do you think contain the spelling WR for the sound R? It's actually more common than you might think, and all these words, like wrist, wreck, and right, for example, are all linked by one theme. They come from the Indo-European root word wer, that's W-E-R, which means to turn or bend. Over time, the E dropped off and we were left with the WR spelling of R. If you think about these words, they all have something to do with twisting or distortion. So here are another few examples. Writhe, wrestle, wrap, and ring. It's not entirely clear where it came from originally, and similar root words can be found across various ancient languages. In Sanskrit, for example, vartate means to turn around or roll. In Avestan, an ancient Iranian language, varet meant to turn, and in Latin, vertere meant to turn as well. As we know, English has a semi-opaque writing system, so we have lots of these strange spellings, and many of them have ancient backstories just like this one. Okay, on to nugget number two. What do the words punch, shampoo, and bungalow have in common? These are all words with origins in India. These are just three of the many words of Hindi, Urdu, and Sanskrit origin that have made their way into the English language. I was really surprised to learn that the word punch, as in the drink, comes from Hindi and Urdu. It actually comes from the word panch, which means five, because the drink was made with five ingredients: alcohol, sugar, lemon, water, and tea. Another word that comes from Hindi is shampoo, derived from the word champur, which means to press. The word was brought to England by a Bengali businessman called Saqeddin Muhammad, who opened a spa in Brighton and offered champi treatments. And so from there, the word came into common use in English. And finally, the word bungalow. This is one that I think is quite well known for being of Indian origin. It's not just by chance that it sounds similar to the word Bengal. Bangalo means Bengali in Gujarati, a language spoken in India. The word was adopted by British invaders to mean house in the Bengali style. And the first buildings to be built in the UK and Australia and to be classified as bungalows was in the late 19th century. They were built with similar materials and style to Bengali houses, using things like corrugated iron and straw. So, nugget number three. Just when we thought the English language couldn't get any more confusing, we come to contronyms. This is a term I had never heard of before, but it is when one word has two opposite meanings. So the word before, for example, can mean referring to both the future and the past. So here are two sentences where the word before means two opposite things, and I'll repeat them afterwards because I know it's sometimes hard to listen to things and keep them in your head. So sentence number one, a period of great uncertainty lies before us. So before refers to the future. And sentence number two, decades of research came before the discovery, where before refers to the past. So here are the sentences again. Period of great uncertainty lies before us, and decades of research came before the discovery. Another example of this is the verb to leave, which can mean both to remove or to remain. So for example, in the first sentence, the bus left the car park at 10 a.m. Left refers to the bus's departure from the car park. Whereas in the sentence, there were three buses left in the car park, left means that it remained in the car park. So the first sentence, it was departure. The bus left the car park at 10 a.m. And the second sentence, it was remaining. There were three buses left in the car park. So it can be these subtle differences in sentence structure and context that mean that native English speakers can quite easily differentiate between these opposite meanings of contronyms without even thinking about them. I mean, I'm not sure about any listeners, but I had never thought about this before, really. It's something that I do without even considering it. But it can obviously be really challenging for people who are learning English. I hope you've enjoyed these nuggets of language nerdiness. I'll put the references that I've used for this information in the show notes so that you can find out more. And if you've enjoyed the episode, please let me know and maybe I can turn this into a series. Bye for now.